And this is 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, and welcome to Creative Impact. This is a weekly series featuring the creative people, the jobs, and businesses that are driving forces that make Washtenaw County one of Michigan's strongest and most vibrant arts and creative industry hubs. Now, our partner in Creative Impact is President of Arts Alliance and my co-host, that is Deb Pollack. Welcome back to WEMU, and thank you so much for your time once again.
Oh, always, David. It's always a pleasure. And hey, I've got to break a little bit from format today because it's a very special day in my family.
All right, what's happening?
My granddaughter, Isla, my very special little Isla, is celebrating her fourth birthday, so I wanted to
give
a shout out.
Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Isla. And if I'd done my vocal exercises this morning, I would have sang happy birthday to Isla, but I think I'll wait and do that later when the family's together.
Should we just pause and create a space in case you want to come back and fill it in later?
No, but that actually is a nice lead into our guest today, who, if anyone knows the history of the birthday song, it would be our guest, who is Dr. Mark Clegg, who is the Associate Dean of Academic and Student Affairs at the School of Music, Theater and Dance at the University of Michigan, and will soon take over as interim dean following Melody Racine's role in that department. So welcome to the show, Dr. Mark Clegg.
Thanks, Deb. Thanks, David.
And David, he's also a musicologist, so say hello to Dr. Clegg.
It is so good to have you on the show today, and with that in mind, I'd kind of like to start with the subject of musicology, Dr. Clegg. Can you define exactly what musicology is and maybe get back to the history of that song, the Happy Birthday song?
Or why you might know the history of that song.
Sure, absolutely. So musicology is basically a fancy word for music historian. I mean, I think there's sort of three components to what I do. One is researching, and then a lot about asking questions about why we use music in the way we do, and then it's being a storyteller, being able to communicate that new knowledge, those discoveries about the history of our music to other people. So it's really a teacher of music history. But yeah, the story of Happy Birthday, what a great song. I mean, it's the most recognized song in the English language. It's one of the most valuable songs in the history. It's generated over $50 million of copyright royalties. So it's an amazing song. And it's also, I think, you know, it just brings people together. And that's so Deb singing to Ilya. That's the thing that, for me, is what's really interesting about music. I mean, there's the facts, which are, you know, certainly important. And that's a lot of what a musicologist does, is try to figure out, you know, what happened in the past. But really, it's why does it matter? How do people use music? We all love music, and I think it speaks to us in this incredibly emotional and deep and powerful way. And it's really figuring out that power that a musicologist is trying to do. So, you know, there's lots of parts of the facts of the story of the, you know, the Happy Birthday. It was written, I think, first published in 1893. It's written by a school teacher, Patty Hill, and her sister, Mildred, who was a composer. You know, but then even that fact is sort of disputed, and maybe it was a song that they borrowed from somebody, and then it was, you know, recopyrated in 1935 and became part of a landmark court case just a couple years ago when they decided, no, actually,
I was going to say, it's just a matter that there were less lawyers back then, right?
And Mark, you're recognized nationally, internationally, as like the foremost scholar on the Star Spangled Banner, so you've really you've really taken that apart, too. I mean, speak about that Happy Birthday song, but the Star-Spangled Banner's got to be right up there with one of those songs that's sang all
exactly
the time.
Exactly. For us in the United States, this is our song and one of the most recognized songs. And frankly, this project has gotten only more interesting over time, but it started just with my teaching. I teach a course at the University of Michigan on the history of American music and sort of what was more American than the Star-Spangled Banner. And I started showing a clip, you know, of Jimi Hendrix playing at Woodstock and just asking my students, you know, what is this about? What does this mean? And, you know, why did he play it on electric guitar at Woodstock? And what's the significance of playing for this audience? And that led me into a deep dive, like, where did the song come from? How was it first performed? I got together with some of our students and colleague, Jerry Blackstone, and we made a recording of the very first version as it would have been sung in Francis Scott Key's day. And we put that up on YouTube now. It has like 100,000 views.
But how different is that from the version that we've all come to know?
Great question. So it's longer. So the last two lines, you know, say, does that Star-Spangled Banner yet wave the land of the free and the home of the brave, was sung twice in the 19th century. It was first sung by a soloist, which is, you know, a skilled singer who could belt out all those high notes. And then the community would respond by echoing that back, that the audience would sing back. So it was a kind of ritual, not unlike the Star-Spangled Banner, that created community. Or not unlike, Happy Birthday, rather, that it created community. It was about interaction. And so it's changed a lot. There is no traditional version of the Star Spangled Banner.
And yet people seem to get very upset when you vary it too much. When Marvin Gaye sang it the way he sang it, people got up in arms. Of course, Jimi Hendrix, which you mentioned, people were quite offended by some of that. And we've had several examples in the recent past as well.
Yeah, Jose Feliciano in Detroit for the World Series in 68, you know, another local bit of history that created lots of controversy. But yeah, it is very deep meaning for a lot of people, and it's, you know, there's a conveyance of respect and idea of our country, and for others it's about, you know, what can the country be? It's a song of protest. It's about shaping and changing the nation. So,
and of course that protest continues today. I mean, it's in the news constantly, and continues to be so.
Yep, the NFL has, you know, keeps me busy trying to figure out what's going on with this song.
Do you get contacted frequently about that?
I do. I just did an NPR interview a couple weeks ago.
So let me ask you another question from a pure musical standpoint. We talk about Happy Birthday and Star Spangled Banner. It's become a part of our culture. It's in the fabric of who we are. We all know those words by heart. Is there a pattern? Is there a musical kind of sensibility that makes us attached to certain songs?
I think there's a lot of factors. I mean, one is repetition, the fact that we've, you know, grow up around this song. It's sung so much as part of our lives, so whether it's your birthday party or going to a baseball game. So I think that's part of it. I do think there is a musical component, though. They often say that the Star Spangled Banner is, you know, incredibly hard to sing. It's the hardest national anthem to sing. But I think that kind of determination and the heroism that it takes to make that song really come alive is part of the meaning of the song. The fact that it's hard to sing and that it takes commitment is part of the message of that song.
Yeah, just to refer to Roseanne Barr for reference, right? You are listening to Creative Impact on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair with my co-host Deb Pollack, and our guest today is Dr. Mark Clegg. He is a musicologist and soon to be the interim dean at the University of Michigan School of Music, Theater, and Dance.
Mark, you were just named in a $205,000 grant given to the Music of the United States of America Project by the National Endowment for the Humanities. Congratulations on that.
Indeed.
Thank you so much.
What is the Music of the United States of America, and how are you connected?
Well, speaking of birthdays, the MUSA, as we call it, is a book project, a publishing project. It's been around for 30 years now, and actually this is probably the 12th grant. I mean, I think we've brought over $2 million to the local economy just through this one project. And it's a publishing project that celebrates the history and diversity of music in the United States. I think our earliest tune right now we published is from like 1609. It was discovered by a missionary. It's called Member Two Song. It's a Native American song. And the most recent is a percussion piece written by a composer named Lou Harrison. So it's everything from art music to Irving Berlin to African American spirituals, Native American music. And it tries to represent the sonic kaleidoscope of our world and here in the United States. And it's been supported through the National Endowment for the Humanities for its whole history, as well as the American Musicological Society, which is sort of the national club of all musicologists, and then the University of Michigan's American Music Institute. So it was actually my first job at the University of Michigan. I worked on this project as a student, and I've been affiliated with it for over 20 years.
WEMU, of course, is the home of jazz and blues for Southeast Michigan, and that is the true American music form, right? So what does that play into what MUSA has been doing throughout the years?
So there's a lot of jazz editions in our series. We just published the very first edition of Latin jazz in full score, the music of Machito and his Afro-Cubans. So it allows scholars and students, the general public, and performers to study this music, to perform this music that may have been lost to history.
Interesting. So somebody like a Dr. Michael Jewett here at WEMU could refer to the work that you do. Now, you study it from and you publish the work and you look at it from a scholarly point of view, but somebody like a person, an on-air personality like Michael, would look at that to inform what he does on the air?
Create better connection.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of jazz editions, what's interesting about jazz is that it's often improvised, right? So it's stuff that wasn't written down by a composer that, you know, as a historian or a researcher, you would look at dots on a page, but rather they're from the record of them are literally records, right? They're LPs and CDs. And so a lot of our editions are actually transcriptions where someone has listened very carefully to a recording and then written down the notes on a piece of paper. So, you know, for instance, you could look at the music of Fats Waller, both as an organist and as a pianist, could look at different versions of the same song and how an improvisation led to a different thing. And you know, you could have a radio program just based entirely on one of our editions that looks and compares these to various recordings, and the way the notation brings out some of the genius of Fats Waller.
Are you offering?
Sure, let's do it.
So you're a music detective.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and it's so much fun. I mean, what I love about studying music in the United States is that there's incredible variety. You know, you're really looking at the geographical container for your academic discipline. So you can look at jazz, you can look at Happy Birthday, the music of the Gershwins I study. So there's so much, it's an incredible adventure.
Well, it's going to be fun for us to investigate the work that you are doing. And for today, we thank you so much for the time.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah, Mark, thanks so much for being on the air with us.
Take care.
That is Dr. Mark Clegg, noted musicologist, editor-in-chief, and soon-to-be the interim dean of the University of Michigan School of Music, Theater, and Dance. Deb Pollack is president and CEO of the Arts Alliance and our content partner each week for Creative Impact. And Deb, we'll do it again next Tuesday.
Absolutely.
To hear the archive of Creative Impact shows, all you have to do is go to our website at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.